This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, the French actor Vincent Cassel, plays the demanding artistic director of a ballet company in the new film Black Swan. Earlier this year, his film Mesrin was released in the U.S., in which he portrayed the famous French gangster Jacques Mesrin. Reviewing it in the New York Times, Stephen Holden wrote, "Cassel's monumental performance fuses the cobra-like menace of the young Robert Mitchum with the shape-shifting volatility of the classic Robert De Niro." Cassel played the son of a Russian gangster in David Cronenberg's film Eastern Promises and just finished shooting a new Cronenberg film. He played a master thief in Ocean's 12. His father, the late actor Jean-Pierre Cassel, worked with several French New Wave directors. Here's Vincent Cassel in a scene from Black Swan. He's working with the talented but inhibited dancer, played by Natalie Portman, who he's chosen to star in Swan Lake. He's trying to convince her to let go.
In 4 years, every time you dance, I see you obsessed, getting each and every move perfectly right, but I never see you lose yourself. Ever. All that discipline for what?
Just want to be perfect.
You what?
Want to be perfect.
Perfection is not just about control. It's also about letting go. Surprise yourself so you can surprise the audience. Transcendence. And very few have it in them.
I think I do have it in.
Ah! You bit me? I can't believe you bit me.
I'm sorry.
Vincent Cassel, welcome to Fresh Air. So what we just heard is Natalie Portman biting you after you've kissed her. Is that in the script? Were you expecting that to happen?
No, it was. Of course, it was written. We did it many times, actually.
Oh, that must have felt good.
Well, she didn't really bit me. I think she did it the first time, and then it wasn't really needed anymore. So, you know, it's just acting, let's say.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You say it's just acting. But for her, like, she had to go through this, like, grueling regimen of ballet training, which you were probably spared from for the film, right?
Well, you see, I think in a career, once in a while, you get, you know, a part like that where you really have to get involved physically. It doesn't really have to do with, you know, the situation or the acting itself, but it's just like, let's say, a technical aspect that you need to go through, you know. And for this time, I mean, with her, it was about dancing. Sometimes, you know, not so long ago, I had to gain a lot of weight. You know, it's things that you have to do. It's physically very demanding, but, you know, when it's such a wonderful part, I guess you just do it with a smile, you know, and that's what she did. She went for it, smiling.
Did you have to learn about dance for your part as the ballet master?
Actually, I've danced for a long time. I started my career as a dancer. My father was a dancer, so I literally grew up on sets, backstage, on stage, you know. And, you know, so I really grew up in that environment. And I've danced. I took ballet classes for 7 years. In Paris and in New York, so I really know what it was about. I remember the smell of the studio in the morning, and I still had my tights and all my, you know, my things. So, you know, I went back to the classes a little bit for that movie because I wanted to carry myself in a proper way. And it still hurt a lot, you know.
Right. So what kind of dance did your father do, and what kind of dance did you do besides ballet?
My father was a tap dancer, really, you know. He was part of Chorus Line in the London production. He was doing the part of Zach, who was actually more or less the same kind of character that I'm portraying in Black Swan. You know, he's a demanding director, let's say. And for myself, I did ballet, and I did jazz, I did tap. And then capoeira, which is kind of a martial art, but it's still a dance. You know, nothing really well, but a little bit of everything.
I think one of the American films that you're best known for is Ocean's 12, just because that series is so popular. So I thought I'd play a scene from that. so people can hear you in action, because playing the French movies wouldn't quite work. Yes, so you play a master thief, and mm-hmm. And you see yourself as in competition with Danny Ocean, the George Clooney character, for who's the best thief. So let's hear a scene. You've invited Danny Ocean, George Clooney, to visit you at your mansion, where you end up making him a proposition.
Mr. Ocean,
you broke rule number one, and that has consequences.
Oh, you must be talking about the paintings. Don't worry. You'll be dead in 5 days, and I'll get my paintings back.
Unless you have an accident first.
I don't think so, Daniel. Perhaps I should explain to you why I'm tormenting you like this.
I'd like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, last month I was in Portugal to see my mentor.
Lamarck.
Indeed. A very loud and annoying American businessman was there the same day. He worked for a big insurance company. He's the one who suggested Benedict to you as a potential mark. You know the man?
What about him?
Well, he said he was the most beautiful job he'd ever seen, and he went on and on about this job, and then he said it showed you were the greatest thief in the world. But the worst part is that Lamarck never corrected him. I told Lamarck that you can't be better than me. And he answered that was impossible to know for sure. So I thought about that for like 3 weeks in a row, day and night. And then suddenly I realized that he was actually right. It is impossible to compare one theft to the other, huh? So I guess the only way to know who's the best of us for sure is to go after the same object. Do the same job, don't you think? That would be fun.
You're being awfully cavalier with a lot of people's lives so you can play out a game. You're going to regret it.
That's George Clooney and my guest Vincent Cassell in a scene from Ocean's 12. Did this movie strike you as like a very American movie, because there's big American stars? It's a sequel to a film that was a remake of a Frank Sinatra film. The whole movie is tongue-in-cheek. So did it strike you as this like very American film?
Well, you know, not really, because when you look at it, okay, so you have a lot of big stars in it, but most of them are friends, you know? And Steven Soderbergh, the director, is definitely a very particular director in the American industry, I guess, you know, because he really managed to make those big movies, you know, like the Ocean's movies. And then on the other hand, he gets involved with subject matter like Solaris or, you know, really, really arty stuff. So it was a big movie, but it felt very homemade on set, you know, very homey, very warm, a bunch of guys who know each other for a while, and he had total control on it.
So the Ocean's films are, you know, very suave, and they're about, you know, they're about like style and charisma and everything. You played a genuine gangster in, I am used to saying Mazarin or Mazarin, okay. But that's not, you say it right for me.
It's actually, there's an S in the word, but
he doesn't like it. The gangster doesn't like
no.
to say it. Yeah.
But the real way to say it is Merina.
Merina.
Merin, yeah.
Okay. So you play, this is based on a real gangster who mm-hmm. lived in France, Jacques Merin.
Jacques Merin, in the 70s.
In the 70s, yes. So, and he was not very famous here. So tell us a little bit about the real gangster that your character is based on.
Well, the guy was, he was very different from the rest of the gangsters we had in France, because he was the first one to use the media, really. You know, that's what really made the difference for him. He used the media for his own sake. He started what really happened is that he's been used as an icon of the counterpower by a left-wing press in those days. And I guess he really enjoyed it, and he really liked to be. He had a huge ego, so he started to enjoy being in the papers and on TV and everything. So he started to, you know, call the journalist himself, and eventually managed to be on the front page of things like Paris Match, which is the equivalent more or less of Life, Time Life magazine, you know. And so it's really his relation to the media that made him different. And actually, I think that's why he died, you know. He became much too noisy for the government at the time, and they just decided to get rid of him.
The movie is in two parts. Yeah. And in the second part, you're older and you're heavier, about 50 pounds heavier.
Something like that.
And you have like a big pot belly. Now, actors often like to get into character by putting on the character's clothes, putting on their hairdo or their hairpiece or whatever. But for this, it's like you're living in somebody else's body, and you're going to sleep in that body. You're going home in that body. It just must be so odd to totally transfigure yourself like that in a way that you can't take off when you go home at night.
Yes, it is very odd. It is very odd, and it's not something one should do too often, to be honest, because it's not good for you, obviously. But there's something really great about it, you know, just as we were saying for Natalie and Black Swan, you know, it's that when you get so physically involved with something, you don't have to do much after that, you know. I was breathing differently, you know, my walk was different, you know, so I felt so different already that it was kind of easy to imagine myself as somebody else, you know, and so that really helps. I think all these things you were just saying, you know, about, you know, hairdo and you know, all the clothes and everything are not something superficial. I think they are really important. If you let yourself go to the feeling that, you know, that you have wearing something that is not yours, you can go really far, actually.
Were you afraid that you'd never be yourself again physically?
Well, I have a tendency to think that you always change, really. So you're never really the one you were yesterday. And every movie, especially when you get involved with a movie, it takes something out of you. You know, you learn something, but you give something to the movie. And you, after a movie, if the experience has been intense and a true experience, you're a little different afterwards. You know, physically. You know, I've noticed that the first important movie that I did, I shaved my head for the movie. When the hair grew back, you know, I had white hair for the first time of my life. So it's you know, I have a tendency to play it cool and to say that it's, you know, easy and normal and it's no big deal. But I know it really takes something away from you when you get involved with something deeply.
What's another example of a role that changed you in some way that you had not expected it would?
It seems like, you know, when you do a character, especially when it's something that it's a little far away from you, it's like a door that you open. And when you're done with the movie, you open that door and it's there. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of weird, but, you know, I played like a bunch of characters and then I realized that I would go back to my normal me, you know. But in a way, there was something that I added to my personality, you know. For example, with Mesrine, you know, I realized that I feel heavier sometimes in the way I laugh, you know. Yeah, the laughs can really change, you know, with a character. You laugh in a certain way, and it's the way of the character, let's say, and then, you know, afterwards you realize that sometime in your laugh, there's something left from that character.
Now, your grandfather owned a movie theater, which was which was converted from a real theater, like a stage theater.
Yeah.
Would you describe the theater?
Okay. You see that big castle at the beginning of the Walt Disney movies?
Yes.
Something like that.
No.
It's actually.
Really?
I swear. Yeah, yeah. It's actually. It was a casino. It was a castle that Napoleon built back in the days for one of his lovers. And she never made it there, you know. She stopped because of the rain in Bordeaux, I think she stopped. And that thing became a casino with a theater, two nightclubs, and things like that. So, you know, I was literally with my brother and my cousins and all that. We were living in the dressing rooms, of the theater, you know. So everybody had like a little room with a bed and a mirror with the lights around, you know, and and the bathroom. It was incredible. And the bathroom were actually the bathroom of the theater. So I would just open a door and be in the theater. So, you know, it was like a home cinema before it even existed, you know. And that's where I really discovered a lot of movies, you know, really good ones, very bad ones, horror films, cartoons, porn, anything, you know.
Porn? Did he show porn?
Yeah, at midnight on Saturdays.
Oh. So did, your parents try to prevent you from seeing it, or?
Well, my parents weren't really there, you know. It was more my grandparents. They were really busy. And anyway, you know, I knew the theater better than anybody else. So there was always a way to sneak in.
So were you surprised by pornography, or did you already know how it was
no,
done?
No, I knew. And I mean, you know, I mean, and imagine, I mean, I was 13. I was, you know, I loved it.
Now, you spent some time in a circus school.
Yeah, quite a while, actually.
How much?
Like 5 years.
How come?
Well, my father didn't really want me to be an actor because he thought he was right, actually. He kind of protected me from, you know, going in the same direction than him, you know, because you know, being an actor is wonderful when you got work, but when you don't, it's terrible. It's the end of the world. You don't do anything. So I guess he just, you know, if I wanted to do it, it had to be very personal. And that's what it became, you know, very personal. But before I could go on stage and take acting class and stuff, you know, he didn't want me to get involved with that. So my way in was the circus, really, you know, because it was kind of like a stage. And I thought that actors should be able to do everything, you know. So at the circus, you learn how to play with things, you know, you juggle, you need to work on your balance, you kind of work with your body, you know. And I don't know, I thought that was a plus for me, you know. So I got involved, and I've learned quite a lot of things, and especially to move, because, you know, I realized that a lot of actors don't know how to move their body, you know, they're stiff, at least in France. And so I've learned how to control my tool, really. And then, you know, I realized that it was all about the emotions, so I've learned how to control my emotions. But I started by the body.
So with the body, when you were in circus school, you learned how to juggle. What other, like, technical things did you learn?
Acrobatics, my specialty with acrobatics. So acrobatics, working on a wire.
Wow, you did that?
Yeah. Well, you kind of learn everything, you know, at first, and then you specialize in something. So trapeze, you know, acrobatics on a horse, and ballet. Because when you are at the circus school, you have to take ballet classes every day as a base, you know.
So when you were doing trapeze work, what was it like when you'd fall?
Well, there's a net.
I know there's a net, but still you're falling.
Well, it's actually, that's the first thing you learn, how to fall, you see, how to fall flat, because if you don't fall flat, you might hurt yourself. It's scary, you know, it's scary, it's exciting, it's, you have to abandon yourself, you know, and to abandon yourself is very useful when you act too, because you have to trust your choices, you have to trust, let's say, you have to trust yourself, really, you know. It's and even though you're not always know where, how it's going to end, let's say. You know what, now that I'm talking about that with you, I realized that when I was much younger, I read a book by Stanislavski called
The Actor Prepares?
Yeah, and he's talking about acrobatics. And I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get involved with the circus school too. And he was saying that when you start an acrobatic sequence, once you start it, you have to go to you have to do it until the end, because if you stop in the middle, you fall and you hurt yourself. And that's how you should start a scene too. You know, you have choices and you go for it. You don't know if you're gonna fall or not, but you have to go with your choices until the end. You know, that idea of danger, you know. I think it's a good parallel between acting and acrobatic, you know. And that's one of the reasons why I want to get involved with that. You know, because when you act, sometimes you need to dare things, you know. You need to not be scared, even though you don't know what's going to happen.
My guest is Vincent Cassel. He co-stars on the new film Black Swan. He starred in the French gangster film Mazarin and played a master thief in Ocean's 12. So here's something I've been waiting to ask you. I know your parents divorced when you were 13. Your mother moved to America, and then you spent some time in America. And one of the things you did in America was go to summer camp. I'm dying to hear about that experience.
I've been twice to summer camps. I've been to Camp Redwood, upstate New York, and I've been to the camp called Blueberry Cove in the Maine. That was a real culture shock for me.
I was honestly thinking it might be.
No, because, you know, I mean, kids are not raised the same way in America and in France. There's a real difference, you know. And so it was pretty hard for me to get into it, you know. First of all, you have to do a lot of things when you're in camp. You have to play football. You have to to play basketball. You have to eat now. You know, it's like a lot of things. And I couldn't, you know, relate to that thing where you had to do things. I grew up, I didn't have to do anything, you know. I felt like a very free as a kid, you know. And suddenly, like, to have so many rules was kind of a tough thing. Actually, I ran away twice.
From camp, really? Did you have to run through the woods or something?
Yeah, I ran away, literally ran. I was, you know, and they catch me on the road running.
Just getting back for a second to the movie theater that you partially grew up in, what's one or two of the really good or really bad movies that you saw there that you think you may never have gotten to see had you not basically been living in a movie theater?
A lot of, you know, B-series from, you know, like the Insects of Fire, you know, for example. There was like roaches, you know, burning roaches that would like come off the phone and they would burn everything around, you know. They're really bad movies, but you know, they were very scary at the time for me. And you know, the B series, I've seen a lot of those, and all those, like, there was like trend in the 70s. They had like those kind of it was like sexy movies, you know, from Italy with that actress called Edwige Fenech, was like a sex symbol. And so in one movie she was a nurse or she was a school teacher, you know. And those were really, really bad, really bad movies. And but I loved them because she was gorgeous, that actress.
So you loved acting when you were young and you love it now. Do you love it in a different way? Are there things about acting you love now that are really different from what you loved when you were young?
Well, you see, when I was really young, the problem is that I was acting, but in life, you know, I wouldn't call it lies, but let's say, you know, I don't know. I would create things. I would make people believe in things that wouldn't exist, you know, you know, I would like transform myself, you know, wearing disguise in the street in my neighborhood to see if people would recognize me or not, you know. So it's not very healthy after a certain point because you start to mix everything up. And but the interesting thing about it is that if you can make people believe things in life, then it's easy to make, you know, to make it in a movie because it's harder, you know. To do that trick in life than on a set, you know. So when I started to work and get some job, you know, I started to express that in movies, and that was a relief, really, because I didn't have to do it in life anymore.
Well, it's been great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You took me so far away. I can't believe it.
Vincent Cassel plays the artistic director of a ballet company in the new film Black Swan. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, Lauren Krenzel, and Heidi Simon. I'm Terry Gross.